This podcast is brought to you by Garrett's Garden Furniture. All our garden furniture is handmade in County Offaly. We have a wide range of products such as swing chairs, love seats and picnic benches. We are currently working on new products for next season and you can get in touch today through our Facebook page, Garrett's Garden Furniture, where you can view our products and check out our fantastic prices.
Broadcasting live from the little town of Clara, County Offaly, it's What's the Story with Lloyd Bracken. Get in touch today through all our social channels and have your say. Oh, and thanks for listening. Now it's over to you, Lloyd. What's the story?
Hi everyone, hope you had a good week. Welcome back. This is episode 20 of What's the Story with myself, Lloyd Bracken. Hope you enjoyed your Halloween podcast last week with lots of contributors to that, and fair play and thank you very much for everyone who did so. My next guest on the podcast is doing huge work for food poverty in the Midlands and beyond. Did we even know that was an issue? Well, let's find out. He also serves as a county councillor in Offaly County Council. Here to tell me all about his work on food poverty, let's welcome Ken Smallin. What's the story?
Hello, Lloyd. How are you doing? Thanks very much for having me on your show.
You're very welcome. Ken, firstly, where did you discover the issue surrounding food poverty in Offaly and the surrounding areas, and how big of a problem is it?
I was years ago, we'd say back in 2012-13, I was going to these repossession courts, or as they call them, eviction courts, not only in Tullamore, but in Portlaoise, in all of the Midlands counties, and throughout the country, you name it, from Cork to Galway to Dublin. I was going there because people were actually in dire straits. They were being brought to the courts by the banks for the repossession of their homes, and they simply didn't know where to go looking for help. And they had nobody there supporting them either. And what I found was that by talking to these people, by just putting my hand on their shoulder and saying, listen, I'm here, and we can try to get you some help and help for free. That's where I discovered that some of these families, one family in particular that I met in Tullamore Court, were actually there to surrender their home without even fighting for their home. It was a woman and her husband, and they had a daughter as well, a teenage daughter. And I asked them, where are you going to live? And they said that they were going to live in their car. And I eventually found where they were living in their car. Well, I also found that there was two other families living in cars in around the same location, and three families living in tents. Now, all of these families didn't want anybody finding them. They didn't want me finding them, but I just had to go and see this for myself. I eventually then discovered that first family I was talking about, they were going down the town in Tullamore. I saw them going in for a cup of coffee. I got to know them and I spoke to them. I said, are things improved? And they basically told me that they were on the way to Dublin to queue up outside the old Central Bank building on Dame Street to get some food. And what they would do is they'd go for a cup of coffee or whatever they were going to have, just to show people locally and their family and friends that things were normal. They were just very embarrassed about the situation, but they were going to queue up for food up there. So we went to Dublin then to see what was happening up there. The first night we were there, they clicked these people through at the tables. There was 195 people went through. We went back again the following week, and there was over 250. But I spoke to as many people as I could there and discovered that some of them were actually from Offaly, going up, getting on the train. If they're put off the train, they just wait for the next train and get back on that train. It could be in Newbridge or Kildare or wherever. But, you know, it was a shocking situation. Then I was told that it's worse up outside the GPO. We went to the GPO as well, and there were over 450 people queuing there. Elderly people on walking sticks and men and women holding small babies. And I just thought, Jesus, we have to do something about this because it's not everybody that can make their way to Dublin. So we decided to come back and look for them locally. And we started in December 16, just with a handful of families. And it took a long time, which is natural for people to trust that everything would be totally confidential. And but now we're up to 800. Today it's 856 or 57 families. And with this COVID-19 thing and the restrictions involved and the job losses and this pandemic payment, it's just not paying. They're not getting enough to pay the ordinary bills, pay mortgages, pay everything else. as well as feed themselves. And there's a huge amount of people looking for help.
Were you surprised, Ken, when you seen people in the GPO and then realised that they were from our locality?
Yeah,
was that an eye-opener?
I could not believe it, Lloyd. If somebody had asked me 5 years ago, because I'm from Tullamore, and that's where I'm from, even though I'm married and was captured and brought to Clara about 25 years ago. But if somebody had asked me how many poor families that were in Tullamore, I stupidly would have said maybe 10 to 15. Mm. In the Tullamore area, in the wider Tullamore area alone, of those 860 families, there are well over 300 of those families in the Tullamore area. And I know that I'm only not even scratching the surface of this crisis yet. I was contacted by the grandson of a former Minister for Health, Dr. Noel Brown, who was a Minister for Health back in the late 40s, early 50s. He's the man that's regarded as having eliminated TB from the country. Mm. His grandson is a man called Glyn Carragher. He was involved in research in late 2018 into food poverty in the country. And he told me that the figures that I was working from were wrong, because I was working from figures that were carried out from research that was carried out in 2013 by two trade unions, Unite and Mandate. They said that there was 600,000 people on this island that didn't have enough food to eat every day. Mm. 8,900 in Offaly, 8,700 in Laois, 9,300 in Kildare. But in every county, there is a serious food poverty crisis. It's not just in Offaly, and people would from different parts of the country would be thinking, God, Offaly must be a terribly poor country. It's just that we're trying to highlight it here, and maybe I led the charge on that, and we have to do something about it. But I was told then by the grandson of former minister that the figure is now 750,000 plus that don't have enough food to eat, which means that there are 10,000 people minimum in Offaly that do not have enough food to eat every day, and half of that number are children.
Right, that is quite alarming. Can you take us through the process, Ken? You collect the food from various family resource teams and businesses. What happens
then?
What's involved in the distribution?
Yeah, well, we have what we call family rescue teams. And I was down in Rath near Borough tonight. I collected a huge amount of food from that team down there today. I'm only back there from there. And when I was on the way back from Rath, I had another amount of food to collect, a huge amount of food to collect from the team in Kilcarmac. Now, I still have that on the van because I'm only back in the last 10, 15 minutes or so. So I have to go and actually look at that. Now, look, all of that food is, I more than appreciate it, but I know all of the families more than appreciate it. It's, you know, they desperately need it. But what I do when I get it, I will bring it in. I will go through every single item of food. I check the dates on every single item. Because people, in their generosity, some people, well, naturally enough, to go to their presses and take out food. Now, if anyone goes to their press and takes out food, they might think it's there for 2 or 3 months. It could be there for 2 or 3 years.
Right.
So I have to check the food. One of the rules, well, we made 2 rules at the very beginning, was that number one, not one person would make a cent profit from any of this. If I'm in County Roscommon or down in Tipperary, if I want to stop for a cup of coffee, I pay for that coffee myself. Mm-hmm. Nobody, absolutely nobody makes 1 cent. It all goes into the delivery van, which we call Lazarus, or it's Lazarus Junior now because Lazarus kind of packed up on us. So it goes into that between tax and fuel and insurance and everything else and keeping it on the road. And we would naturally run short of different supplies of food, and I would go in and load up trolleys and buy food as well. So that's exactly where all of the donations of food go. But then once I have it date checked, I then store it. I pack it into separate places for each item, and then I pack the bags or pack that into food bags. It's basically the same items that go into each food bag. I could tell you now, I could nearly rhyme it off in my sleep. There's 2 boxes of breakfast cereal. There's 2 or 3 tins of beans, 2 or 3 tins of spaghetti hoops, 2 tins of dessert rice, because children like dessert rice. There's a jar of pasta sauce. There's a bag of sugar. There's a packet of pasta. There's a packet of boiling the bag rice or cooking rice. two or three packets of soup as well goes into it, two or three packets of biscuits as well. And then I put in, we'll say if I have tins of fish or tins of tomatoes, chopped tomatoes, or whatever else I might have that's non-perishable, that goes into it as well. It could be jars of jam as well. And the different companies are very good because I collect a lot of treats for children in the likes of Deals and Tullamore. So I'm able to put in bars and stuff like that, something that children wouldn't be used to getting. And I put those in there. I also put in, now for the next few weeks, I'm able to put in a couple of packets of flatbread, that because I got a big donation of flatbread from Simply Baked in Tullamore as well. So that all adds to it. And of course, if there are bottles of orange or bottles of juice, they go into it as well. But I run short of them very easily or very quickly.
Okay.
But there's roughly 25 to 30 items goes into each bag. And then I deliver that food. Now, since COVID broke out, I don't want to be meeting people. So I deliver from 5 o'clock in the morning. In the morning, I try to be finished by 10. So that I meet as few people as I possibly can, because I don't want to bring something home with me to my family, and I certainly don't want to give anything to anybody else. So, and that's why I try to do it without meeting people.
Okay, so Ken, if somebody needs your help, how can they reach you in confidentiality?
We don't have websites or anything like that, and it's only recently, in the last few weeks, after 2.5 years of trying and making applications, something I'd never intended to do. We applied to for official charity status, and we got it about 3 weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago. We were eventually granted charity status. So we don't have a website. So people, my phone number is on my Facebook page. Anybody, now I prefer if people actually send me a text message, because I can't always answer the phone when I'm on the road, and it doesn't make sense for me to answer the phone when I'm on the road anyway, because it means I would have to stop the van and take down details. Sometimes I could get 5-6 phone calls when I'd be on the road from Clara to Tullamore. So it just wouldn't make sense. So I ask people to leave voice messages and I get back to them. But people can send text messages, preferably text messages, or they can send messages to me on Facebook as well and tell me what their story is. I do ask some people for their permission to post their messages, but I do heavily edit them so that they cannot be identified, because I do not want to identify anybody. But there are so many people that don't believe that this is a problem, that we have to create a public awareness that this is actually a major crisis and it's a major problem. And I am genuinely concerned now, Lloyd, of the amount of new calls that I'm getting in the last few days alone. And these are all from families, from working people who own their own homes or might be renting, but they simply are not getting enough from this pandemic payment. They're just not getting enough from that to keep going, pay the ordinary bills, pay their mortgages, and to be able to feed themselves as well. You know, people are going without, a lot of people are going without some of the basic necessities, and they're all around us, and we don't know who they are, because, you know, I'm not going to tell somebody if I'm in dire straits. You're not going to do it. We all have pride, and it's understandable, and there's no such, you know, you often hear people saying you have to lose the shame. It's like telling somebody to lose the fear of heights. If you have it, you have it, and you're not going to lose it like that.
So, Ken, what do you put down to food poverty in the Midlands, and what's the government doing about it? Is there a long-term solution?
The government are doing absolutely nothing about it, Lloyd. As a matter of fact, they deny its existence. And much of this food poverty stems back a decade to the bank bailout. Because, you know, and much of this food poverty doesn't involve people on social welfare, whereas some of it does, yes. There are always hidden costs with rearing children especially. But for people in that have been affected badly by the bank bailout, you know, we were all affected by job cuts, by reductions in wages, by extra taxes, extra charges, extra levies. You know, some people are not earning the same amount of money now as they were back in 2008 and 9. You know, that's how far we've gone back. And that is what has affected people. Every one of us was forced to bail out the banks, the bondholders, the speculators, the developers. And, you know, these banks do not have to pay tax for the next 20 years. And depending on how they work their books, they might never have to pay tax again. And whereas the ordinary individual on the street pays more tax than the, you know, the Irish Bank or Ulster Bank or Bank of Ireland, you know, that doesn't make sense. They got to bail out the ordinary people who were made to pay for it. They were basically gambling debts. And we paid the bondholders. They were gambling debts too. And, you know, we paid the developers' debts. We paid the speculators' debts. The government at the time, which was a Fianna Fáil Green government, and then the Fine Gael-led government, they are solely to blame for putting us in this situation. And you and I, our children and our grandchildren, and even our great-grandchildren, will be paying those debts until the mid-2050s, whether we like it or not, because it was a private debt. But Michael Noonan, when he was Minister for Finance in the Fine Gael government, made that a public debt. In other words, it's your debt now and it's my debt. It had nothing to do with us. It had nothing to do with our children. It had nothing to do with our unborn grandchildren or great-grandchildren. But they will be paying these debts. And that's where this has come from. Now, these people, it's easy for them to forget that they did that. But they did. And they're not doing anything to address it. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, so Ken, you've built this from the ground up. Is there any plans to expand your operations?
Right now, and since COVID kicked in, Lloyd, I am actually working, packing bags, checking dates, basically on my own. I have wonderful teams out there of people who gather, who collect food. I have absolutely fantastic teams of people, and not only people, ordinary people or not. I'm just not talking about our family rescue teams, but I'm talking about individuals as well. I was down there today and two people stopped and brought in a lot of food to me as well. But we have businesses as well out there who are very good, extremely good. I had one lady today, a couple of days ago in Kerry, and she made a substantial donation to our credit union account. And it's all of that that keeps it. Like, as far as I'm concerned, it's teamwork right now. But as regards expanding it, we now have a team in East Cork. It's called the East Cork Food Appeal. They're based in Middleton. And they're a wonderful team of people, and they're getting to loads of people over there. We have a team over in Port Harrington as well. And they cover Port Harrington and Mount Mellick. So we're getting out there as well. And only in the last week or so, we've a team in Roscommon and Longford. It's slow, but we're getting there. Okay. Now, the one thing that I would say to anybody thinking about doing this, they would want to be extremely committed to this. Because, Lloyd, this is a minimum of 12 hours every day, 7 days per week. There is no breakaway from this. You can't get involved, be interested for a month or 3 months, and then just leave it. Once you get involved, you have to stay with it.
Yeah. Ken, you spoke about the government there, and would you be willing to join forces with government-funded agencies in pursuit of sorting this problem out?
I will actually talk to anybody that is genuinely interested in solving these problems. I would talk to anybody, and I mean anybody. As a former member of An Garda Síochána, we wouldn't be seen to be in any way agreeable to anything that the likes of Sinn Féin would do or say. But as I said to you, I will talk to anybody. I was myself, and I would admit it to anybody. I used to be one of these people. I voted Fianna Fáil all my life until 2011, until I realized what they actually did to our country, to our people, to our children. And they're not owning up to this. There are massive problems, huge mental health problems, and it's only going to get worse. And much of it stems back a decade. And they want us to forget about that now. They think we've forgotten about it. There is a lost generation out there. And there are so many people that need to be saved. So many families need to be saved out there. And unfortunately, some people are doing silly things. They see no way out. Bad things happen. Mm.
Ken, you've seen some people who fell on hard times, obviously, that have benefited from your generosity, get back on their feet and out of hardship. Yeah. Do you get a sense of satisfaction out of seeing them?
It's absolutely fantastic. I get messages from people that are back on their feet, and it's a wonderful feeling knowing that. It's also a brilliant feeling knowing that. And for some reason, look, I'm wouldn't be the most religious person in the world, and anyone will tell you that. But, you know, I have been put into at least two and maybe three situations, unknowns to me, but I went to different locations collecting food or whatever else, knocking on doors, and found people who were on the verge of taking their own lives. You know, I was brought into one house and I was shown a letter, a suicide note that a lady had written, and her brother was going to find her the next day. That was her plan. She was living on a bowl of soup every day. And I, you know, I just happened to be in the area. Now, it was in around the time of the local elections. And I just happened to knock on her door. And she was crying at the door. And she told me, and I said, look, this ain't going to happen. You know, you're not going to go hungry anymore. Simple as that. I've met people as well that were in awful situations, mortgage distress. And, you know, because I was able to direct them where they could get help, genuine and meaningful help that wasn't going to cost them anything. I know that has saved some lives. Yeah. And I'm not just taking personal responsibility for that. There are so many people who are involved in this. You know, there are so many good people out there who care about what's happening to their neighbors and to their friends and to their families. And, you know, when I talk about family, sometimes family are the ones that will really ignore the problem that's out there. And that's why a stranger that you can trust is going to say nothing and keep it quiet. That's the person you can rely on. And that's why it was always called the Ken Smallan Food Appeal, not because I have a big head or anything. It's because the only person that they would ever have to talk to is me. The people that helped me during the busy times, especially around Christmas, to pack bags, not one of them knows anywhere that I call to. Nobody has my list. My list, I have it there. The wife, Sandy, she knows where to get this list if the good man above decides that I'm not fit for purpose anymore. I have told her where she can get this list. But until then, nobody will see this list. I have to guarantee total confidentiality to people, because if I didn't, why should people trust me?
Yeah. Do you have many long-term recipients of your services, Ken?
Oh, look, there are probably 500 of those. 856 would be long-term recipients that I get to once every month with supplies of food. And it makes it easier for them. You know, I've received messages from people that were able to bring their family out to McDonald's or to some fast food restaurant, and they couldn't have done that before. And just that one bag of food every month is enabling these people to live some sort of a normal life, or to go to the cinema, or maybe for a man to bring his wife or partner out for a meal. You know, it allows those people to live some kind of a life without hiding away. You know, of the people that I visit in Tullamore, I wouldn't have known that they exist. And I would think that I would know most people in Tullamore. And you probably think that you would know most people in Clara. There is a huge amount of the population that lives close enough to each town and village that none of us ever sees, because they help each other, or they borrow milk, or they borrow butter, or they might borrow some bread. But that's the way they exist. They're very rarely seen in public. And if you've seen one of them, you might ignore them. You might say, I don't know who that person is. I never saw that person around before. But they might be living in the area for the last 20 years.
Ken, I'm just going to play a little piece here from a lady that you've helped down through the years, a name by Georgina Gillern. Just have a listen to this. You have been in receipt of kindness from Ken before and the Ken Smallan Food Appeal. How did that come about for you, and how did it help?
Well, it came out a couple of years ago when basically between, for a lot of different reasons, health problems, financial problems and all the rest, and just basically found it difficult to keep head above water. I needed help to keep food on the table. So through social media and stuff, I've seen Ken Collins' name and what the great work that he does throughout the whole country. And I contacted Ken and explained my situation to him without any questions or red tape or anything. He took my details, and every month there was a bag of food left over from my gate or on my doorstep. And basically what that meant for me and my daughter was that I had a few euro left over each week from my disability allowance to go towards paying for electric, other household bills, you know, these things that we incur, the light, the internet, all those little overheads that people forget about that have to be paid on a monthly basis. You know, and you have kids, you know, they need other bits and pieces as well too. So it meant I had that little bit of extra cash that I didn't have to spend on food that I could put towards paying other bills. It took a lot of pressure off. It took a lot of pressure off, say, one's mental health as well, to know that there was somebody out there that I could reach out to for help. That call is very hard to make, like. I don't think people realise how hard it is to make that call, to admit that you're on the food poverty line. But I did, and I haven't looked back since, because he gave me hope. He gave me inspiration and drive to turn things around. And I'm heavily involved myself now with charity, and I'm very happy to do that. It's me giving back a little bit of what has been given to me. I decided then and there and then that I was going to start making hats myself for the homeless. So at the moment, I've just passed the 300 mark. There's two other ladies as well, too, that are knitting stuff that are going to pass them on to me as well. I started that last year. Then I fell in with Balladreen Family Resource Centre, and the lovely lady there, she's a coordinator for Balladreen. She would contact me occasionally and say, well, I have a family in desperate need of certain items like clothing, nappies, wipes, toiletries, that kind of stuff. So I'd put a little post up myself on my own page and leave it up for as long as I'd need to get the items needed for the family. And then I would contact my contact in Balladreen, and I would pass everything over to them, and they would distribute it to the families that need it. There are four of us in the group all together, and we've set up a Facebook page supporting our communities. In there, our numbers are building every day. In there, what we do is we collect clothes, toys, toiletries, all that kind of stuff. The majority of stuff goes to the Family Resource Centre in Balladreen. I'm collecting toiletries as well too myself to put with the hats that I've made all year, and they're going to go into care packages, which I'm going to be passing over to a guy called Tom Duffy. I'm sure you've heard of him. And Tom does great work on the streets in Dublin, helping the homeless, food and sleeping bags and various other things. Not only that, but we linked in with Ken himself. I contacted Ken myself there a couple of weeks ago because I wanted to try and help him some way, this side of the country, to take some of the pressure off him, because he has 1,000 families plus now on his list. What we've offered to do for Ken up this side of the country is that if he is a family in desperate need of food, we will do a food drop. Now, our donations of food will be nothing like what Ken has, but we have had a few people give a few euro over the last week, and we went out and we'd done a big shop with the money we had, non-perishable items. Yeah, if Kenneth's family, he'll connect them up with us. We'll get together then, and we'll organise a food parcel, and we'll organise a food drop between us.
So, Georgina, after making that call to Ken, albeit it was a difficult call, you said, were you surprised yourself after coming around full circle and helping people then yourself that there is so many families out there in need?
I'm appalled at the level of poverty and the level of food poverty and the amount of children that are going hungry. I suppose an example is myself and my own daughter went to a family during the week with food. This lady was under tremendous stress and strain, and three young children. They were freezing. The house was freezing. She had contacted a registered organisation. Again, I'm not going to name them because I don't want any backlash on myself. She contacted a registered organisation to see could she get some help with oil to heat the house, to keep herself and her kids warm. And that was 2 weeks previous to when I met her, and she still has had no contact with them. It's just heartbreaking. And like that's, we're really only scratching the surface. It's beggar's belief. It's heartbreaking. That's all I can say. It's heartbreaking.
Would you appeal to families that will find it difficult making a call like you did, Georgina, to just make that call and seek help?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. I myself am on social media there. You can contact me directly. I have no problem linking people in with likes of Ken and Tom and all the other guys that are doing
You might give your social media details if you can, please.
Yeah, I'm just Facebook, just my name, Georgina Gillerin. Just look me up there. There's not many Georginas out there, so it shouldn't be too hard to find me. Just look me up on Facebook. My profile is public, so drop me a message, and if myself and my own and the guys that are together with me, if we can help in any small way at all, we will do our best.
Georgina, thank you very much for joining me. And look, thanks for making that call, because it is so difficult for people who are in financial stress or stress with food and everything. It's important, and reiterate that, make that call to somebody like Ken.
Absolutely. And just one thing I'll finish off there by saying that please don't judge what's behind people's doors and what's in people's heads by what's in their drives or by the shoes they have on their feet, because the two are completely different. There's a whole different story going on in people's heads and then behind their closed doors and it's outside their front doors.
So, Ken, that was, in fact, Georgina Gillerin, a lady that you've helped many times, and she's very grateful. And she, as she said in that piece there, a very hard call to make to you, but happy she made it.
Yeah, look, I am happy when more people contact me, even though it puts pressure on us all of the time when we get new calls, because it adds to the workload. Look, it simply means that there's another family that won't go hungry. And my focus is always on children. It just kills me knowing that children don't have enough food to eat. And I'm really grateful to Georgina and her new team that they're now helping people. And they would be the third team that we have now. It's taken a long time, but there's huge commitment involved. And I know that Georgina and her team will do brilliant.
Can I see on your Facebook there, you're getting some praise of some fellow councillors? That must be a bit of a surprise, isn't it?
I did yesterday. It really shocked me, actually. And I thought twice about posting that, but I attended another thing yesterday. It was about mental health awareness. And I just thought, This really, you know, it really gave me a boost that I wasn't expecting and I didn't think I needed. But for some reason or other, I've been thinking about that, what he said to me all night yesterday. Like, you know, he just said that he was sitting in the council meeting and he knew himself, or he thought to himself, that nothing that any of us, of the rest of us, are doing here is changing people's lives. And there's only one councillor here that's doing that, and that's Ken Smallan and his team. And I would like to put the focus on team, because I can't do any of this on my own. You know, it's the help of brilliant people that make this possible.
Ken, obviously it is lovely to get some compliments like that, but on the other hand, is it enough for a councillor to say that there's only one man here doing something for people? Is there something wrong with that as well, that they say, oh, should all be doing something for people?
I think people at some stage or other come to an awareness of what they're actually doing. We know that I never want to be referred to as a politician. I hate the word politician. I hate the word politics, because those words have been sullied by so many people in the past who supposedly represented people. I far prefer the term public representative, because I will do my best for everyone that contacts me with a problem. I will never make promises that I can't keep. I never make promises, but I tell them, I will do my best for you. And look, that's all I can do, and that's all that anyone can do, provided they make that attempt without just making a promise that they'll do their best for you and then do nothing. Because there's too many politicians who don't answer their phone calls or never get back to people. Look, I don't always answer. I rarely answer phone calls, but I always get back to people. It might take 2 or 3 days, but I will get back to people, because it's important. That's what my role is. That's what I was elected for, to help people, and that's what I will continue to do.
Okay. So, Ken, what can we do? How can we help? Where can we donate? Where can we leave stuff?
Well, look, I actually changed, like on my I have a number of food drop off points now. Some of the food drop off points that we had, particularly in Eden Derry, the businesses that closed down, you know, to the likes of Elvery's, and we had Dempsey Family Butchers as well. And they closed down, but in the likes of Eden Derry, you know, we have a couple of other places The closest to Clara right now is Deals in Tullamore, and Deals have been extremely good. You know that, you know, you don't have to buy stuff in Deals. You can go in there with your bag of shopping from Tesco's or from any place.
So if somebody came and listened to this there, from Clara, said, okay, I have a business here, I could do this, would they be accepted?
They would be accepted in the next 5 minutes, you know, because we need people to get involved. And Lloyd, it's not that I'm angry about anything. I understand that people don't realize how serious this crisis is. It's there, it's hidden. The people that are affected won't talk about it because they're ashamed, they feel embarrassed. You know, so they're hidden. It's the same as mortgage distress. Nobody's going to come out and talk and say, I'm in mortgage distress. People want to hide their financial dealings. They don't want to feel like failures. They won't even tell their own families that they're either in mortgage distress or they're hungry. They don't have enough food to eat. Mothers in particular will go without food. They'll live on tea. And that's all they live on for days on end, just in order to feed their children. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but as you say, people are more than welcome to help. I put up the details of our credit union account. It's actually part of my, it's on the cover photo on my Facebook page now. Yeah, that's only there for the last 3 days. So the details of that are there, because I could post them on my page and sure, they'd be gone down in the next post tonight, yeah, or tomorrow, disappear altogether. So it's part of the cover photo on my page right now.
Okay.
That's where they can find details of that. But, you know, Deals in Tullamore. But look, I don't want to particularly name any of these outlets because I don't have a list of them in front of me. But there are family rescue teams. There's actually one in Clara as well. But anybody wanting to donate or to find out who is on those family rescue teams, you know, they can simply send me a message, and I will certainly get back to them and let them know exactly who it is.
We'll also
that's running those things.
I can put your details at the end of this podcast. Ken, as we approach the winter months and Christmas, is there anything special that you require for families at this time? Specific foods or?
There's not, Lloyd. You see, Santa Claus does not get to hundreds of children in this county and in every other county. Now, we tried to do something about that by helping him out, giving him a handout, because he doesn't know where every child lives. And we tried to do something in relation to that 3 years ago, and it was an absolute disaster. It stopped me from getting supplies of food to all of the families that I should have been getting to, and we just said never again. We just couldn't do it. You're running into a major problem there. You don't know what toys that a particular child would like. You don't know what toys.
I actually had a toy appeal myself a few years ago, and it was fantastic. Proceeds went to Bernardo's and different places, but it is a big undertaking. Yeah. You know,
it's a huge undertaking. You know, I know how huge the food undertaking is, but like that in it. Even though it's so busy, it's relatively simple because I pack the same amount of things into every bag of food. But when you're dealing with toys, you're looking at different age groups. Mm. You're looking at boys and girls. I found it an absolute nightmare. And I would give wonderful prayers to anybody that's attempting to do that, but it's sure not easy.
Okay. So Ken, what areas do you need extra support in at the moment?
Right now I need support in every area because, look, I visit families in Offaly. Now, the two ladies in Port Arlington and in Montmelick, like, they have a large team of people in those areas, and they cover a lot of County Leash. Now, I do cover parts of County Leash. I would be down in Tipperary. I would be up in Roscommon in Galway. I would travel from, like, tonight I will unload now, and I'm going to visit families in or around the Kinnegad and Rochford Bridge area. So it's not only Offaly I would cover. I cover Offaly and its surrounding counties because I just cannot see families going hungry. That keeps me awake at night, knowing that children in particular are going hungry. They're going to school hungry. Mommy or daddy is asking them not to pretend or not let on that they have nothing to eat for breakfast. And children are so good at keeping these secrets, you know, and there's something we have to look after our children. We have to look after our future generations. We have to remember that they are the people who are going to be working, earning money, paying taxes, that are going to be paying our pensions. If we don't look after them now, why should they look after us then in the future?
You also
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ken.
No, I'm just saying in every area we could certainly do with help. Like before COVID, we had approximately 30 family rescue teams. That is down to approximately 6 family rescue teams now because a lot of those people weren't able to donate anymore because they needed help themselves. There's a huge amount of people who are in great difficulty now as a result of COVID. And I'm genuinely concerned. I'm actually afraid of what's coming down the line as regards people needing help with food.
Yeah. As you mentioned, you're also a retired member of An Garda Síochána, where you served Eden Derry in Port Leash, three very different districts in their own rights. Did you envisage like this after your retirement?
Not ever in my wildest dreams did I ever think that I would ever be doing something like this.
So
I thought
was
I'd
it a bit of a calling then?
Yeah, well, look, it was, I just knew a few people that were, you know, going to these repossession courts. And I wanted to see what was happening. And then I got involved that way. And then I ended up going to Galway and going to Mullingar and Athlone and down to Kerry and Ennis and Limerick. You know, in Ennis, actually, I was, the registrar down there stopped me from, he stopped his proceedings because I told him what he was doing wasn't fair to people down there, that people weren't getting real justice down there, which I didn't believe. You know, he was simply, you know, calling out names and stamping a book, treating people like numbers, not listening to their stories. And I just told him it wasn't fair. So he basically got up and he called the guards, and he wouldn't come back until I had left his court. And he said his court, he owned the court. Now, he was only doing, he was a county registrar. He was doing his job. But look, I always believe in treating people as I know them personally. I will treat everybody. And I tried to treat them when I was a member of An Garda Síochána as if I was talking to my own father or dealing with my own mother or my brother or sister or my own child. You know, because it's important that no matter what role we have in life, that we show respect to people. If you give, and I have it written here on the computer in front of me, it's give people the respect they deserve and they will respond. And that's something I've always tried to act on. You know, we have to respect each other. We have to respect that each other. Each of us has a different opinion on something. We can't force our opinions on anybody. But if somebody's in trouble, you know, lift them up. Don't kick them when they're down.
As part of your work, also, you're a county councillor and you're on a range of committees, including Clara Swimming Pool here in our town. It's a great amenity for the town. Is it still being well supported as it was pre-COVID times?
It is. Well, you see, there's some work being done on Clara Swimming Pool now to improve it and the pool itself. It has been repainted. You know, it was emptied and repainted, and that will be ready to go, hopefully, in the new year, because we can't see anything getting up and going again before the new year, unfortunately. But like, it was an ideal time to do that, and that has been done now, you know, and there's a lot of work happening behind the scenes in all of these places. But it is, look, it's a fantastic amenity, and the people of Clara are very lucky to have that. People in similar sized towns around the county and around the country don't have that, you know. So it's important that people realize that, and it's important that people would support it as well. But look, the people of Clara are responsible themselves for having that there, because the people in Clara are unique. I remember years ago listening to, I don't know what it was it 98 FM, Father, I can't even think of the man, Michael Cleary, Father Michael Cleary. He had a program, and I remember one night, it could be 25 years ago, he said that he'd gone through a town in the middle of the country, and he stopped in the town, and he couldn't believe how warm and friendly the people were, and he spoke about the community spirit, and that was in Clara. And I have, I could not disagree with any of it. I think the community spirit in Clara cannot be met anywhere else. And the people of Clara are blessed to have that. There's a warm feeling about the people of Clara, and the people of Clara will look after you. You know, and that's something I found years ago, something I see today.
Yeah, I've lived in different places myself. I lived in Cork for close to 17 years, but Clara, some people for rallying round when things are down and when things are up, which is great.
Yeah. It is really a fantastic town.
But all this work going on, do you sleep at all?
Well, I have to admit, I actually don't go to bed every night. I don't sleep every night either. Now, look, when I finish, it might be 2 o'clock in the morning before I'll finish now this morning or tomorrow morning. The first thing I'll do is I'll turn on the news. Now, I have a big interest in World War One and the men from Offaly that fought in it. But I look at documentaries on World War One if I can find them. Because, you know, and that kind of, I find then that I wake up because I'm on the road again at 5 o'clock, and I find that, Jesus, I wake up at 5 o'clock and I won't have seen most of that. But I record it and I look at it again at some other stage. But look, I never see these things.
So do you find that you're going to a mini war yourself every day?
I'm going to a mini war, but you see, I'm used to it, Lloyd. Some people might be shocked by some of the stories, but then again, I will never be immune to it. I don't want to be immune to it. The day I become immune to any of this is the day I should give up. The day I stop showing concern for these families is the day I should stop. You know, but it's not something, and I can genuinely say this, Lloyd, it's not something that I would recommend to anybody. First of all, you'd have to like driving. You'd have to stay getting up. You'd have to like getting up very early in the morning. You'd have to like staying around till late at night. You'd have to, you'd have to get used to eating at very irregular times.
You must have a very supportive family, Ken.
I do. Look, it's only myself and Sandy now, the wife, that are here. We have 2 grown-up daughters as well, and we have 5 grandchildren, 4 grandsons. And
what do they make of granddad heading off at 5 a.m.?
Well, look, Sandy knows about it when I'm actually back. She doesn't realize I'm gone. But one of the things I used to love doing was going to see my own grandson, Greg, playing hurling and football for Clara, because I would think that he's a bit of a superstar, but what grandson doesn't think his grandson is like that. But I would always arrive later. I'd have to leave early. But I still really enjoyed it, you know, and I enjoy that. I enjoy the crack that goes on at these hurling matches and football matches. And I enjoy watching these young people. Look, it's a start in life that all youngsters need, that they should be involved in some kind of sports. And it kind of breeds a friendship that's there. There's too many kids out there that are doing nothing else, only playing on computers and playing on, you know, with different technology, up-to-date technology that I wouldn't understand. But it makes, you know, they become loners and they don't depend on anybody, they don't talk to anybody, they don't talk to their own parents, they don't even talk to classmates. If I'm going by a school in the daytime, it's easy to see that the amount of kids that are actually not talking to each other, they're looking at their mobile phones. And there's something uneasy about that. They're not talking to each other, they're talking to this bloody phone, or they're messing around with it, whether it's texting or going through different websites or different apps or whatever it might be, you know.
Okay, any plans for the future to run again for the Dáil?
I haven't even thought about it.
You don't have time.
I don't expect that there will be a general election anytime soon, but look, one could happen at any time, because political parties always play political games, and if one political party thinks that it's going to, you know, win more seats, well, that's the time that they'll probably get out of government and, you know, be the cause of a general election happening. Look, we do need good governance. We don't have good governance. It's a total lack of leadership that we have right now. Nobody knows who to trust. You know, we all know, or anybody that has any sense knows, that there is a virus out there. But after that, you know, we just don't know. We don't know what the future holds for us. And there is no direction, real direction or leadership being given from government. But, you know, is another new government going to solve that? As far as I can see, the only way that we will get a real government for the people is a group of independents that can come along together and hammer out whatever differences they have with each other and form some kind of a grouping that will agree to form a government and put policies together that put the interest of people first, because we have to put people first. You know, we can't go down the road of putting large multinational businesses and the interests of banks and financial corporations ahead of the interests of people. Governments of the past have done that, and it has failed us, and it has failed us all. And that's why we're in the position that we're in right now.
So, Ken, just to finish briefly then, there is people listening to this now who are going crazy to help, and there's hopefully a business in town that'll say, put their hand up, and I'll look after the food appeal for on behalf of Clara. So what can you tell them? Look at your Facebook, the cover page, and contact.
Yeah, they can look at my Facebook page. They'll see some of the stories there. I put up some of the stories as well that I get from people. And I only ever put up those stories with the permission of the people involved. And they know that I will look at somebody who says they have four kids. Well, I will, three boys and one girl. Well, look, I might change it to two boys and two girls. Mm. I might change the age of kids. But I certainly will not mention the area that they're from. I might say it's County Offaly, but other than that, I will not, give the location, whether it be Clara or Kilcarmack or Cravan or wherever. I won't do that. Although I will say the towns that I visit, because it's important that people in these areas know that food poverty and real poverty exists around them. But I will never identify the people. Even people might think that they can guess who these are. They couldn't. Some of them are former business people who would be seen still to be locally, to be relatively well off, and they haven't a shilling. And that's the way it is. But for people in the likes of Clara that want to get involved, look, all they have to do is send a message to me. If businesses want to get involved, it's the same way as businesses everywhere gets involved. They put a trolley in there and they can put something on it, the KS Food Appeal or whatever else on it. And for people that might want to buy an item of non-perishable food, just to put it into the basket. And I will call, they can just call me and I will call to collect it then. Or they can bring it down to the storage unit to me if the van is there. Now, I don't be at the storage unit at regular times at all. I could be there in half an hour, but then again, I might spend most of the day on the road and have my packing done at night time. So I'm not there at any regular time. So all I have to do is send me a message on Facebook or send me a text to my phone number. It's 085-143-2898. And I will get back to them.
So Ken, we're going to do a quick fire round. I'm not too sure if you're familiar with it, but you have to give me the quickest answer
I'm not, but I've heard about it, and I'm not familiar at all.
Right, okay. So the quickest answer you can think of now, and no stalling. Are you ready, Ken?
I'll try my best, Lloyd.
Ken, what actor would play you in a movie?
We'll have to go for Tom Selleck. Why not?
First thing you'd buy if you won the lotto?
A large storage area that we can work comfortably for. For getting food out to people.
Favorite country visited?
Would be Spain.
First movie you've ever seen?
Clint Eastwood's westerns in the 60s.
First album you've ever bought?
An Electric Light Orchestra album.
If you could ask God one question, what would it be?
Keep my family safe.
Best thing about Clara?
The best thing about Clara is its people.
Parachute jump or bungee jump?
Parachute jump, but I wouldn't do it.
Again, the last question is an actual £1 million question from Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. So this is your chance now to win £1 million for yourself. Okay, here we go. In 1912, former US President Theodore Roosevelt was a candidate for which political party? Was it A, Bull Moose, B, Bulldog, C, Bull Elephant, or D, Bull Frog?
Oh, Jesus, a Bull Moose, I don't know.
Is that your final answer, Ken?
That's going to have to be my final answer. Can I call a friend?
There's no, you don't have any friends.
Listen, Lloyd, you don't have to tell me that.
But Ken, you're actually right. You've just won a virtual £1 million. Well done.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to buy a virtual storage area. You know, so.
Very good. Ken, thank you very much for joining me on the podcast today. Keep up the great work you do.
Lloyd, thank you very much. And I genuinely appreciate the opportunity, because look, what you're doing is absolutely brilliant. And I hear people talking about you every day. So look, you'll probably think of going for election yourself.
No, never. Never. You heard it here. Never. I'm too honest.
you just don't suit it. So, and I think, look, I think maybe that's why people wouldn't vote for me again. Maybe they'll say I'm honest, but maybe they'll say, geez, this fella's a head of ball or something. He just creates trouble everywhere he goes.
Good stuff. Right, Ken, thanks a million. Appreciate it.
Lloyd, thank you very much.
Take care of yourself. Bye-bye. That's it, guys. That was episode 20. Look, it was a difficult podcast. There are some very sad stories out there, but we can help. We can do a small little bit to help people out there. There is people, as Ken said, everyday normal people like myself, as if I call myself normal, but there's people out there that needs help, and we just have to look a little bit, ask a question. We can do something, and I'll put some details up later of how we can help and help Ken and people like Georgina, because they're doing great work. I'm going to leave you with a brand new single from Simon Casey. It's called I See the Light. Take care. Talk to you next week. Thanks a lot.
I see the light on the other side. I see the light with my arms open wide. I see the light on the other side. I see the light side. I see the light with my arms open wide. I see the light on the other side.
This podcast is brought to you by Garrett's Garden Furniture. All our garden furniture is handmade in County Offaly. We have a wide range of products such as swing chairs, love seats and picnic benches. We are currently working on new products for next season, and you can get in touch today through our Facebook page, Garrett's Garden Furniture, where you can view our products and check out our fantastic prices.
You just listened to What's the Story with Lloyd Bracken. Check out all our social channels for info on new episodes. Oh, and thanks for listening. On the Town.
Thanks a million. Appreciate it.
Lloyd, thank you very much.
Take care of yourself. Bye-bye. That indeed was Ken Smallin of the Ken Smallin Food Appeal. What a great, great job Ken is doing, in fairness, bringing some joy to a lot of vulnerable families out there. So we might just think about that the next time you're in Deals or somewhere. Pick up something small and throw it in the Ken Smallin Food Appeal basket at the door. That'd be great. I'm going to talk to somebody briefly who is in receipt, I suppose, of the help that Ken has given. And she joins me on the line now.